automate more, relax more, get paid with less effort than ever. Coming soon, D72. Make sure to visit foolishit.com for updates. Podnuts would like to thank Nick Shaw for his continued support.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Geeksters episode 110. Welcome to... Glad to have you. Welcome to... I just said that, so... All right. Anyways, we're just going to keep going here.
Hey.
All right. Well, it's still 110. Glad to have you guys with us. If you're in the chat room, welcome. If you're going to watch us live after the show, welcome. If you're... it's in the year 2020 and you're listening to us, you found us in a glass jar. We've been buried under the sand for, you know, many years. Welcome. I probably look a lot better then than I do now. So anyways, but hey, speaking of people who look, people
so
who
vain.
Look good, I know exactly people who, speaking of people who look good, I got two co-hosts here, Tim Baumeister, Mitch Heyman. I'm going to start with Mitch this time. I always start with Tim and I realize I got to mix it up. So, hey Mitch, how's it going?
I am doing splendid.
Oh, splendid. No, you're doing gruntled.
Begruntled. Gruntled.
You're gruntled.
Yeah, I worked on two machines. One's working well. The other one, not working too well.
Hey, 50-50, man.
Yeah.
That's better than the odds I have some days.
Mm-hmm.
And that low grunt you heard was from Tim Baumeister.
Hey, Tim, how's it going? I'm good, man. I have a face for podcasts.
And a beard.
Oh, wait, we do have video here. All right, well, I guess I don't, so. Yeah, the winter growth, it's going to be coming off soon, so. We'll be raffling off Tim's beard to raise awareness for Podnutsian endeavors.
Yeah. Man, no.
No.
Tim's beard in a bag.
Well, you know what? Make sure it's the genuine. You don't want to get that Tim's beard in a bag off like the Chinese eBay sites because it's not bad, but it's not the real thing. So
we want the real deal.
That's right. If you're gonna get a Tim's beard in a bag, you want the genuine article. Make sure it says genuine Tim's
genuine
bag o beard.
Ooh. All right, so
yeah.
Caller number 50, we're going to give you number Tim's 50. Bag o' beard.
Yeah, you know, so it's actually gotten so long. I think I could probably do like locks of love with my beard. I could probably donate it, like beards of love.
Beards
of love.
for all those people who need a beard. You know, could do locks of love there.
Locks of love. Well, I actually did that before.
Not with your beard though. With the actual.
It, lock it wasn't. Head. It wasn't with a beard. It was probably 10 years ago. I had long ponytail, and I started working a lot of construction work, and the two didn't mix. It was hot weather outside. It was always full of dust and dirt, and so it was time to get it cut off. And somehow I'm not sure even how I got into that. Somebody told me, but I went, and it ended up being like. Like I don't do things like that. I just like to go and do something nice and then just go home. And I don't need a lot of people knowing about it. I just like to, I'm satisfied knowing that I did something like good. And so I get down there and I guess it was so unusual that a man showed up to donate to this Locks of Love program, which is like an awesome, awesome, anybody not familiar with it, it's an awesome program that mostly women donate. Long lengths of hair. This is, I think it has to be 10 inches or so. I don't know what it is. And then the hair is used to weave, wigs for, I'm not sure if it's adults, but I know it's definitely children, but it's people with cancer. And so, they lose their hair and then it's really kind of, an unusual thing, but I'm assuming it was probably, no doubt was started by somebody who maybe found themselves in that position, but it was so unusual, I guess, that a man were to show up and do this. There was a newspaper reporter there and a cameraman. And so there was an article in the newspaper about this guy that shows up and there's a picture of me getting my hair cut. And the haircut was free. That's part of the deal. You know, because the beautician's in on it too. That was pretty nice. And so I thought, you know, it just, some days it just doesn't pay to do something nice. It turned into a thing with a photograph and newspaper and the whole story. And
it's a parade, and you met the president. I mean, just the other day I celebrated Tim's Day. It's on the calendar now. It's a national day off.
Yeah, it's one of the only holidays that it's a holiday, but it spans several days. It actually starts in the middle of one day and ends at, I don't know, somewhere in the middle of another, but, you know, and yeah, I mean, they swept up all the little bits of hair and they shot them into space, and there was drum majorettes and the whole deal. And I just thought, you know, we make light of it, but I mean, it's a pretty amazing program. A lot of people donate a lot of time. And, so I'm definitely not here to, I'd never toot my own horn. Anybody interested or want to know more about that, definitely do. It's a great program. So, yeah. But, yeah, we'll do Beards of Love. Maybe there's...
Maybe. Is it with emphasis on the maybe?
It's the emphasis on the love.
No. And emphasis on the beard just sounds weird. So, we'll just go back to Mitch and hear what he has to say about his computers.
Okay.
Oh, what? Mitch, I'm sorry.
Sorry, Mitch has already... See, good job, Mitch. Mitch has already done his bag of beard. We gave that away last year.
Mitch, if you had a real itchy beard like this, you wouldn't fall asleep so easily.
Right. Mitch?
No, just joking. Just joking. I had a beard. I had one last year about this time or so.
What happened? Did it slide off your face? It's right here. It's underneath your t-shirt now, right?
That's all gray down there. There.
Okay, now we're going to move back to me and hear what my computer stuff says.
Oh gosh, what kind of a show is this anyway?
I don't know. What kind of show? What kind of a show is this?
It's about computer repair, things in the computer industry, security stuff, NAS stuff.
Let's talk about that then.
NAS stuff.
Sorry, I thought this was something else.
Network attach
storage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wasn't sure if it was pausing for effect or pausing because he forgot.
Both.
Oh, we'll just call it effect. So what's you had? So I heard with your 50-50 chance, 50-50 two computers.
You heard me talk about for like weeks now. A friend of mine, he just switched from Comcast to DSL, and he's got an i3 Toshiba laptop. It was messed up, and I told him what to use: junkware removal tool, adware removal. You know. Update your malware bytes. Anyway, so he had it clean, or thought so, but he switched to DSL, was working all right for a while, but then, you know, it would connect, and he wouldn't connect, and it would take forever, and he couldn't figure out what was wrong, and I came over one day, and it was working fine. I didn't really get into looking at everything. Brought my laptop over, we both logged in, it was working fine, I left. So, like an hour later, he couldn't connect to anything. So, long story short, he finally got someone from, because I was blaming Verizon, Verizon sent somebody out, and he hooked up with, he had a tablet, and he hooked up with it right away. He had no problem. So I said, all right, I'll tell you what, Dan, bring yours in, and I'll bring mine in. Use mine, and he's got the identical laptop. And right away I saw something was wrong with it. So I logged in safe mode with Malwarebytes, and I just went to the Chameleon thing. And so it cleaned some stuff up in there a little bit, but I saw some stuff, some remnants running. And but didn't belong there. I saw it in Task Manager. So I killed those, got rid of those. And stupid Toshiba, they put this Norton's on there, but it's not installed. There's not an add or remove thing in there. Yet it's running. So I had to kill those processes to get rid of that. And I did so. So I got rid of that. And anyway, the host file was all jacked up. And so I fixed that, and he's all good now. Then I got this other one, this HP desktop. It had malware on it before, and I cleaned it up before, but I think things are just broken on it, and I'm not getting any nothing messed up. I mean, it's not finding any malware on it, but just things are broken. It's just not working right, and it's got, that does have Norton Security Suite on there.
And Norton's is just so big and bulky.
They claim they're light now, but you know,
I'm light too.
I'm not, but I don't know. I mean, I've had machines where it was working all right, but this thing is like, Security Center won't open. I mean, things aren't broken on it. I'm running that junkware removal tool, and it's getting this server type error, connection error, and it hangs after that. And But, you know, but the things that do run, it's just not finding anything.
Well, you, so you're having, like, I mean, you're having actual root services issues starting.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely...
I mean, things are working, you know, but well, but the things that you want to work, that should be working, are not working, so...
Right. I would say probably by now, you probably maybe want to just look at, you know, reloading it. I know that's not... You had mentioned Malwarebytes Chameleon, and we had talked about that a couple weeks ago, but for anybody else who had not had heard of that. So if you try to run Malwarebytes, it has a certain signature, and sometimes some rogue viruses or spyware malware will not allow Malwarebytes to run. So this Malwarebytes Chameleon, and it's malwarebytes.org/chameleon, it actually has a different package in style. And so like it's a .com or like a .zip.
They
like
got
a
several different ones. .scr.
.scr. Yeah, so it allows you to run Malwarebytes without the .exe extension on it. That will hopefully one of the... And it comes in a zip package with a whole bunch of different choices.
When you have it installed, it's in the folder, the programs folder. Chameleon.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, there's a folder called Chameleon. Yeah. It's in there.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, just, so if it won't start, I think if it's installed but it won't start, you can run it that way. That was always a long time trick with the Malwarebytes, was that if you had the installer but you could not run it because it somehow had been blacklisted by the
could rename it. Yeah.
Exactly, you could rename it too.
Of course, I use Orkill and Roadkiller. I even was using that on the machine, and it's not finding anything on there. So
yeah.
Yeah, but you could rename it like Mitch.bat or just anything, and typically that was always a workaround. It's a great workaround.
Yeah, and a picture of me popped up when you did that, though. Unfortunately,
ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, Mitch snapping his fingers in a Z.
I said, "What?
I'm gonna break that window screen."
I don't. That's right. I don't think so. That's not your successful computer, right? That's the one that's having issues.
Gosh. Yeah, this is it's an HP desktop. It's got Windows 7. It's a low end Pentium, maybe a Celeron. I think it's got 4 gigs of RAM. I forgot to look. I mean, you know, it's not running bad, but you know, so I try to open up. I'm like you mentioned earlier before the show about, you know, putting open DNS in there. Well, I wanted to see if there's any settings in there. It kept on, it just would lock up. I couldn't get into the adapter setting for the NIC card. Then like 5 minutes later, it would open up out of nowhere. So that's not right.
I would say right about now, it's time to wipe and reload. That's That's what I would do. I may do
it. Yeah. But I like a challenge, but.
Sure. Well, there's only so much you can. I mean, yeah. You can only push the rock only so much up the hill.
I want to real quick. You guys are familiar. I know Tim is the Mike Smith Tech Show.
Yeah.
He's having a Mike Smith meetup this Saturday, March 22nd, at the Holiday Inn Conference Center in Fort Washington, PA. From 11 till 5, roughly. He's going to do his 500th show there.
Oh, good for him. Hey, congrats.
That's awesome, of his 500th show there, and he's going to do an episode of Tech Vets, who he does with Kerry Holtzman. So I'm going up. It's only like a 2.5-hour drive from here, so I'm just going to go for the day. Fred was going to go. I don't know if he's still going to go. He was going to fly in, but I don't know if he's still going to go. Thought I'd throw that out there if anybody's interested. Going to the Mike Tech Meetup. Mike Smith from the Mike Tech Show meetup in Fort Washington, PA, March 22nd at the Holiday Inn Fort Washington Conference Center. I think I said that right.
Where is Fort Washington? I can't place
this. It's like right outside of Philly.
Okay.
It gives me Google Maps.
Only 2.5 hours from you. Is that right?
Yeah. Google Maps gives me three directions, and the farthest is 140, but which I'm going to probably do because it's staying all the way on the PA Turnpike. So I'll probably do that.
And if you go to mikenation.net, you can find out more information.
There you go. Thanks. Correct.
And speaking of Mike Tech, and I, you know what, guys, I have no problems giving shout outs to other podcasters. You know, I don't want to be that that show who doesn't, you know, because we all listen to other podcasters. You know, other people listen to us, and so you know, I've listened to him a couple times. And the one he came out with an article the other couple shows ago, and we had talked about this a while ago. Remember the GE Geek site?
Yes.
It's the one with all of the like massive amount of stuff. It's GEGeek.com. Oh, right.
Yes.
Remember that? Mike Smith said if you go in there and you go to the top of it, there is a link to, it's called the GE Geek Tech Toolkit.
Yeah, I downloaded it.
So it's huge. Apparently, 1.7 gigs compressed and expands to almost it expands to almost 3 gigs uncompressed. And I guess it has.
It's not a torrent. I mean,
it's a straight download. But I guess it has. It is made for. It's like the ultimate portable apps.
Toolkit. That's great.
So I haven't messed with it, Mitch, and you said you have.
I haven't even messed with it. I downloaded it.
Okay. I haven't had a chance to mess with it, but I'll probably go ahead and try it out, see what it does. I'm going to go probably to Office Depot and I have an Office Depot like a loyalty card essentially. Mm-hmm. And so then I get cash back essentially. They'll send me $20 or $30. Like, here's a coupon for $20.
Right.
And so I'm going to go check it out. I'm going to go get a specific drive just for this. But it comes with just tools after tools and all of these portable malware bytes. And, you know, I guess it can integrate with D7 and it just has all of this stuff. So
right.
I'm going to mess with that as a portable show, a portable drive and take it with me and check it out.
See, back in the early days of Podnuts, Mike and Steve Cherubino, they did some shares together, and actually, yeah, in person. Actually, they had a meetup too where they were together. I didn't make that one, but so Mike's been—he's been around like, I don't know, 7-8 years. He's on his 500th show, so he's been around.
I think the Great Tech, the Tech Debate Show, involved Mike. Wasn't that right? There were a handful
I think you are right. I think it was that. Yeah, you're right. Yep, that was. I liked that show a lot. That was a good show.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind having another one like that.
That's one thing Podnuts doesn't have enough of is rancor.
What?
Like from Star Wars?
No. Rancor, like, bitter anger and fighting, backbiting and debate. But not pleasant debate. I'm talking about.
You have to get John C. Dvorak, Mr. Negative.
Well, we'll have to. Maybe we'll do Podnuts debates.
Yeah. The great Podnuts cage match.
Podnuts Animosity.
I don't see why we couldn't bring that show back. The Great Tech Debate. That's what it was called.
It would be just like it's the Ministry of Insults on Monty Python. Have you seen that? You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're... That's like my life.
If people, you go and you pay somebody at this, you know, it's Monty Python, so it's always, you know, it's just a little outside the box. You go and you pay somebody for... and the guy insults you.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right. So that's the whole point. And then at the end of this skit, he actually wanted like something else. And the guy's like, oh, I'm sorry. That's two doors down. And it's like, oh, okay, thank you very much. Okay. Have a great day. But the whole point was that he walked in and the guy just started just lambasting him. It was pretty funny.
Anyway, the way you got started was just talking about, you know, the Mike Tech show, you know, good guy, good show, been around forever. If you're not listening to it, give it a listen.
Yeah,
the guy's got a good thing going. We don't have to apologize for mentioning our podcast. If they suck, we're not going to talk about them. But if they're good, we're going to bring them up. We're all here for the same thing. And, you know, everybody here probably shares a very common past. We've all listened to a lot of the same shows. But if, you know, whenever you run across a good one, man, you get it out there. And Mike, I think anybody that doesn't know that's a good one should definitely check it out because good guy, good show. And congratulations on getting 500. So. I wish I could be there for that. That's great.
Speaking of podcasts, I just thought of this because Fred had posted it. He had met Matt from Podnuts Pro, and they got a chance. And that's I miss Matt and Lala from Podnuts Pro.
They were great.
They did a great job. It was all servers. So it was more of the networking type stuff. But Matt and Lalo had just such good advice. And I just so if they listen to this and they ever want to get back, we should get them on here. We should get Matt and Lalo on.
I think they will be coming back.
That's great.
Talking to Fred yesterday.
I would be excited to hear them again. So they were, and if you haven't listened to them at all, go to podnuts.com in the left-hand corner. There's Podnuts Pro. Check them out. They talk about servers and networking and Cisco. And I think Lalo got a Cisco cert while he was on the show still towards the end. And it's pretty cool.
Speaking of real quick.
So it's like, to be continued from episode to episode.
I hope so.
go ahead.
My son, they're transferring their data center to somewhere in Virginia, and Dave is out there. I mean, I don't know if you see. I don't know if you followed him.
Yeah, I've been seeing pictures.
You've seen those servers, heavy duty servers they're putting up. I mean,
incredible. I thought it was his basement. I guess not.
Well,
that's Mitch's room.
No, mine. No, I don't know how to do any of that stuff. I mean, but he does have stuff like that. Not quite like that, but he does have some high end stuff. I don't even know what he's talking about.
Yeah, he's been just posting some of the hardware they install and. I don't even know what I'm looking at. I mean, it looks...
I don't either.
It's pretty incredible.
I do, and I'm like, and I'm just, so pretty. It's like, I know exactly.
But a lot of that stuff is backbreaking work, too, and he's doing something.
That's it, server. Make love to the camera. You're a tiger. You're a tiger, server.
Oh, my gosh.
No?
Oh, man. Great visual.
All right. Well, speaking of visuals, I'm going to move on to this one here. We have talked many times about Skydog on the show. So, guys, remember Skydog is the new box that does content filtering for kids and for adults, and you can have different subnets on it and the whole thing. They came out last week, the end of this week. Oh, not the end of this week. That's the future. Last week with something called Web Rover, and I was like, all right, so I'm going to check it out, and for anybody who has small kids, our good friend, and he actually has an email we're going to read from him, Aaron Turnbull, later on, an email. He has kids, and he has been looking into this. And then I said, hey, check this out, because this just came out. Absolutely free, included in the so it's not just a paid add-on pack you need to add to it. Comes right with it. Your firmware gets updated. It does it. I'm going to read you this paragraph from Skydog. It says, WebRover, it says, a child-friendly portal that offers young children a safe place to explore websites created by their parents. When the WebRover access policy is engaged, web browsing is automatically redirected to the personalized portal. Children can visit any website on their WebRover portal. However, general web browsing is not permitted. Parents can create quote-unquote, playlist of websites drawing on recommendations from Common Sense Media and their own selections. Individual WebRover portals are automatically created based on the age and preference for each child. So what happens in Skydog, you go in there and you've already assigned a user to a device already. Okay. So then what you do is you go and you add the age to it. Now when that child comes to, say, their age six, they log in. They get a personalized page created by Common Sense. It's like Common Sense Media or Common something. It's a third party group that will monitor and web pages for kids, and they're age appropriate. It's kind of like the was it MPIA or the MIA, the Motion Picture Association that do all the ratings. They do it for websites for kids, and like I said, it's included. It comes right with this. Then you get personalized web pages for your 6-year old. Maybe it's PBS Kids, Nick Jr., maybe it's something, you know, whatever, maybe National Geographic Kids. They get those web pages, and it's this personalized kind of a launcher page just for them. And as a parent, you can go in and tweak those settings.
Like AOL.
Exactly, but it's based for kids. And so when I saw this, I thought this was just another awesome thing that Skydog is doing. And I don't know what the top level is. I don't know if it says, okay, you're 12, you don't get this anymore. I haven't really messed with it. My kids are 12 and 13. But for younger kids, this looks like a really cool thing. And I know Aaron was very excited to hear about this. And it's just, I mean, it doesn't take away from parenting, but it doesn't. Now you don't have to worry about creating something for them. They already get this cool little splash page. They can change the background, and it's kind of an animated one. But it looks pretty cool.
That's pretty outstanding. I like that. I mean, there's so much that you can do as the parent. I'm sorry if I missed that. It's the child themselves can customize it to some degree. I mean, that's what they want to do. They want to get in there. I guess I imagine, you know, can you give them all these options and then they can kind of do with it as they please?
Yeah, like they can go in, they can change, you know, from their menu, they can change like the background.
Okay.
And what happens is you have a main page, on the screen, and it's basically you know, in Windows, you could hit Alt Tab and you could kind of get a carousel of your pages going around. That's what happens, is they get this carousel of pages.
Oh, okay.
And so they can see screenshots of each page right from this carousel, and they can choose what page they want to do that. They want to, sorry about that. They want to see. And then from there, they can just choose, like I said, they can choose. As a parent, you can go and you can see how has, it's called Common Sense Media. How has Common Sense Media ranked these? In what order? What's good? What's bad about these sites? Now, again, you're using a third-party service to rank something for you, but you do have ultimate control and ability to overwrite those. But it gives as a parent, you know, I don't have time. If somebody were to come to me and say, I've got a six-year-old, what are the great web pages for those? I mean, web pages change constantly all the time. Well, this is a company now or an organization that stays abreast of all of those. So we use them to at least get your baseline. And then from there, you can tweak it.
You know, when I had a six-year-old, I could have told you that. But now that I have like a 10-year-old, it's like I couldn't possibly answer that question. So, I mean, I see the value in that service immediately.
Right. So I'm going to be, I think Aaron's going to be purchasing one of these soon. I'm not sure if I'm going to drive down. He lives about 2 hours from me. I'm not sure if I'm going to drive down and set up with him, or he's going to set it up and then we'll do a remote session, a hangout, and then we'll get it all and we'll tweak it up together. But the more and more I hear about SkyDog, the more and more I see, the more and more I'm really impressed. I still use the SkyDog here in my house and it works great.
I'm impressed by everything that you've told me about it. It's,
I remember when you got it, you're really stoked on it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what they're doing and how they're growing. See, what else did I? Oh, you guys hear about Google? This isn't a joke, but Google offers a terabyte of data storage now for $9.99 a month.
Okay.
So you get your normal terabyte. Well, I have my normal 15 gigs. You know, you get a certain amount of space just by being a Google, you know, using Google Docs or using Google for Business or whatever. Right, right. But now they're offering for $9 a month. It's a gig of space. The big thing that they're saying is that it's not, you know, it's not, it says this article from Muckware, whatever, says Google cuts drive storage rates, offers 1 terabyte for a mere $9.99, but not for Linux. What that means is not for Linux, as in there is not a, Google has not yet come out with a native Google Drive app for Linux yet.
Yeah, because they don't dabble with Linux at all in any of their, ventures. So, oh my gosh. /SMH. I'm just shakes my head. It's internet.
Oh, yeah.
Text abbreviation. Facebook. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I use one program called InSync, InSync, that syncs my Google Drive for me. So I have two folders on my desk, on my computer that sync with that. But you do have to pay for it. It's like $15 for 3 Google accounts. And, so that does work, but there's not a one put out yet by Google for Linux. So that doesn't mean if you don't use it for Linux, a terabyte of space for $9 a month. What do you guys think?
Just backing up. It just clicked. You're saying InSync is a software for Linux to do this, to sync the folders. Okay. I got you. That's okay.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha. So there's a workaround using that software. Okay. Very good. Got it.
Right, yeah. Google has not come out with a Linux client yet, which some people are waiting for. Some people, like I said, I use InSync. Not a problem with it. Haven't had any issues with it. It's cross-platform. So you pay for it per the account, not per the device. So if I use InSync on my Mac and my Windows machine, I could still, Mac, Windows, or Linux machine, I could use the same, you know, because the same application, because it's per account. They're all synchronizing with my, you know, whatever at, gotcha. You know, Google, my Gmail account or my whatever account. So
they do support then, you know, all the major operating systems. InSync, right. There is an InSync installer for the Linux, Mac, Windows.
Yeah. I didn't think I was going to mention it. It says InSync is a Google, extends Google Drive's web functionality to your desktop by integrating tightly with Windows, Mac, and Linux so you can get your work done.
Bam.
It's InSync, InSync.com, and that will be in the show notes as well.
So, but then you asked a question, and the question was, a terabyte for $10 a month, was that the question?
Yeah, what do you guys think about that?
For me, way overkill, but for somebody else, it may not be.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. I mean, the pricing itself sounds amazing. I mean, so what's the problem here? I mean, there's always a catch. I mean, it's like the data, the amount of data and the price, they're always about the same if you offset the convenient, the inconvenience that comes with it if you dig far enough. So I'm just wondering, what's the catch? You know, is it super slow? Is it something good for us?
No, I just I don't think it's slow. I think it's great for competition.
Okay.
I think that this is going to be, I mean, I guess the question is it's Google. So you're going to be putting your stuff on Google. We know that Google, you know.
You have to compare it with the other big boys, you know, price-wise.
Right. And, I don't have any comparisons, but I do know that, Google, Microsoft, in you know, their cloud-based stuff was more expensive. And I think this is definitely going to undercut everything. So here we go. Dropbox offers a 500 gig per month for $50.
Right, yeah.
Whoa.
So it does, you know, it does undercut everybody else that's out there on the market. This is the cheapest that you're going to find a mass amount of cloud-based storage. Now, when I say that, I don't mean, I cannot compare this to you getting your own server or you having your own NAS and you controlling that. That is separate. That's you owning that. You know, this is putting it up into a third party, you know, into the cloud or something like that. But it is Google, and whether or not people will use it or not, I think this is going to drive competition.
Well, this does. It sounds like I'm not going to say it's a loss leader, but it kind of makes you think of a loss leader where let's get him in the door, let's get him backing up, and then maybe on the back end there's some services that maybe they'll attempt to sell you. I'm not saying that people don't need them, just whatever it is. But, yeah, that I haven't priced a backup, you know, like cloud storage, excuse me, in a while. But that just struck me immediately as being extremely inexpensive. And so it's Google. They have more money than God. They can do whatever they want. And so this is, this doesn't strike me as, price is just naturally coming down. This looks to me like, hey, let's get it out there. Let's get people in here using the service. And then, I don't know. Go from there.
Right. I think this is going to build, you know, competition. I think that, you need one person to at least you need one person to lower their price, whether it's gas prices. You know, you get that gas station that lowers their price 10 cents. Everybody starts going there. And then everybody else around it has to lower 10 cents because nobody's there, you know, they're going to lose money. So then you get another one that lowers at 20 cents and and I think this is going to just, I think this is the first step in a real a way that we're going to have a mass amount of cloud-based storage available to us. That is not our own. You know, I think hands down, if you're going to compare, I have the means and the finances to create my own own cloud server, or should I go with Google? Well, you know, hands down, if you're concerned about privacy and want to make sure that your data is yours, own cloud, hands down, no question about it. You know, well, I don't really have the thing. I have some money and I just need to put it in the cloud. Well, then there's Google Drive for $10 for a terabyte a month. And then what about backups? Well, there's a great program out there called Backupify, and I believe that's how it is. And that will back up your data for you. I don't know how much they'll back up. I don't know if they say, oh, sure, we'll back up a gig, or, you know, a terabyte of drive for you. They may not do that because that's overhead on their part too. But Backupify is something that I do use for my Google stuff that does get backed up. So I use InSync to sync my Google stuff to my local machine. Then I use CrashPlan to back that up, right? Now, on the back end, within Google, Backupify backs up that data. Basically, they're syncing my Google stuff to their service as well. So, and that's all my accounting software. And, there's stuff that I talk with my accountant in that data as well. And, it's Backupify, www.backupify, backupify.com.
Well, and look, it's a sign of the times. I mean, it a terabyte, it sounds like a lot, but 100 gigs seemed like a lot 5, 6, 7 years ago. So, yeah, over time, things do get bigger and cost less, and so it's when they happen that shouldn't be a huge surprise, but at least there's somebody out there that can make that happen, like Google. Oh my gosh! I'm sorry. I kind of went off into the nether regions of format wars and proprietary business, and it's Google isn't the enemy yet. Someday they may. Right. I mean, that we kind of feel ourselves like we kind of we're to the point now where Google is no longer the cute puppy that just peed on the carpet. I mean, it's now like, it's now big enough that we're all looking around. It's like, wow, look how big the thing's paws are.
Yeah.
You know, it's still a good thing and it's still cute and it's still working for us, but it's like, boy, the paws are big on that thing. And so, exactly, you know, and
exactly. It can knock us. It's a big enough dog that it can knock. It's cute, but it can knock us over at any time.
Yeah. And it's like, it knocked Grandma over and broke her hip, but it was an accident. Okay. How much longer right. will it be until, you know, you come home and when you go to the front door, it bears its teeth and it's like, game over.
I agree.
So,
all right. What else is on the agenda?
Well, I never did ask him what he's been working on this week.
What on earth did I work on? I'll tell you what. I have
your phone.
Oh, I did want to. Oh, I did. That's right. I knew there. That's why I drew a blank. I knew there was something I definitely wanted to bring up. Actually, I had a couple things I did want to mention. There's a couple things that were interesting, but I'm putting them aside because I didn't really investigate them thoroughly enough to really sit here and tell an intelligent story about them. Let's see. The one thing I want to throw out quickly was that XP, it's going away. Unfortunately, it's actually not going away. It'll continue to exist. It's the Microsoft update. Security patches for it are going away. We've been talking about that, and man, that date is coming fast. And so I've been answering a lot of those phone calls, making a lot of those phone calls, talking to people. Hey, these are your options, whatever. And I tell you what, I just want to throw this out there that, I talked to one of my longtime customers yesterday and I offered her option C, which is the first time that I've done it. No, and I don't see it happening to anybody else.
Was it that Wow computer?
The Wow computer. No. And see, actually, the problem. This is not a situation where a new computer really makes the most sense for her. But she's the first and probably the only customer that I am going to install Linux, on her laptop for her.
Very nice.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, because, she's as much a customer as she is family friend. I'm not going to say money is an issue, but look, money is an issue for everybody. Why spend money to fix something that's not broke in your own mind? She loves the laptop. She's had it forever. And although it really is pretty dated, by our standards as techs, you know what? All she does is check her stinking mail. And all she does is, maybe check the news and the weather. It's like her phone does that. And so you don't need much to do that. She's had this machine forever. She loves it. She doesn't want to spend the money. And you know what? And she's open to trying something new. And so I explained, I said, look, I kind of oversold, you know, the evils of this Linux that, hey, it's going to be different. It's not going to be the same. It's not going to be a Windows machine. There's going to be a learning curve. It may take you, you know, a couple of days or whatever to really kind of get a feel for the differences.
What are you going to put on?
I don't know. I actually have not gotten that far. I don't know what distro I'm going to run with, but,
there's similar ones. What's that? Zorin. It's kind of similar to Windows. You can get some that kind of look like Windows.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm open to any suggestions. I'll tell you what, the one thing though is that I don't want anything that tries to look like Windows because I think that would be confusing. I'd almost rather give her something that's completely brand new. And then because she already knows that there's going to be a learning curve, but once past that, I told her, I said, but you know what? There's going to be, if you got Windows 8.1, there'd be a monster learning curve with that. This is going to be nothing. I kind of wonder if maybe it might be a little confusing if it tries to look like Windows, but it's not quite. I don't know.
How, what are the specs of this machine? Do you know?
I don't know. It's, I don't even.
Because Ubuntu, it's nice and everything, but I don't think it's going to run on like an old machine with like 256 megs of RAM.
You know what you could do, Tim, is get live CDs. You know, get an Ubuntu live CD, get a Mint live CD, and put it in there, boot to it, and say, what do you like? You know, is there one of these you like over the other one? And then give her kind of a taste test, then install from there.
You know what? That's a very good idea. I had not thought about the live CD. Now, I'll tell you what, over the years, I've had the machine in and out, so it doesn't have a quarter. It probably has a gig of memory. It has a, it isn't a, it's not a SATA drive, but it is a newer hard drive. It's probably 2 years old. And so, you know, the machine has been maintained and kept up. And, so it's obviously it's not going to be, the hardware is limited, but I think that it's been upgraded and it runs well enough that, you know, a reasonable distribution of Linux is going to be, I think, a great solution. Look, you know what? I mean, what distribution of Linux is actually,
Puppy Linux would fly on that thing.
I'm just thinking.
It would fly on a boot up CD.
I'm just thinking XP, with Service Pack 3, with your antivirus crap running, and whatever else is on there. It's like, what monstrous installation of Linux would actually be worse than that?
Right, right. Yellow Pike in the forum is saying to have her give Peppermint a try.
Okay. Is that a Linux Mint?
No, it's its own. It's its own flavor, but I believe it's based on Debian, just like Linux Mint, Ubuntu, stuff like that.
Gotcha.
It's been a while since I've tried Peppermint, probably a year, maybe a year and a half. So I don't have any updated, you know, yays or nays about it. But I have tried it in the past.
I'm making a note of that, Yellow Pike. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. So anyway, yeah, I mean, that was kind of, I kind of want to throw that out there. That's option C that I'm offering this one customer, probably the one and only. And I have in the past, I kind of did like the Folgers taste test or whatever, where I installed Linux on I installed Mint on a couple older laptops, threw them upstairs, and the kids were younger, but you know what? They sat down in front of it, and you know, the keyboard's the same, the mouse is the same, the screen's the same, and you know what? They just they never even question it. I mean, they opened up Firefox just like they do in the Windows, and it was all the same applications basically. And they probably poked around for maybe the I don't know, something, but you know, they never even asked me, why does this look different, Dad? I mean, it was just. And right. So I'm thinking this will be a very similar situation where she'll call me up and say, hey, what about this? Or I'm looking for a, you know, notepad or whatever. But I'm expecting that this to actually be a very good situation. I may report back with a complete disaster. So I don't know. It's going to be in a few weeks. She's actually going to be out of town visiting her daughter. So she's going to leave the laptop with me. I have some time to install it. She'll come back. And so.
Yeah. Adam Hammett, a good friend of ours.
Zorin.
Is saying Zorin.
Yeah. That's the one I said. Yeah. It does look a bit like Windows.
Is that the one that looks a lot like Windows?
Yeah, I think so. I burnt it, but I never installed it. An old one that I used to try.
Oh yeah, Zorin looks just like Windows.
PC Linux. that was a nice one. I messed with it, and it's been a while since I messed with it. That was a nice distro back in the day. I'm sure it still is. It's like number 6 or 8 on the DistroWatch. Number 7 on DistroWatch.
I'm just thinking that burn some live CDs and just sit down with them.
That's a good idea.
I think that's going to be a good way to do it. Well, you have to let us know how that goes,
Tim. Yeah, absolutely. I will. I'm actually kind of looking forward to it. I mean, she's a great person. This is something that it's not going to be a project. I think it's going to be fun. She's not like a real techie person. But she knows how to. You know, what happened?
If she wants to do that, please have her call Mitch.
Arch?
No, it takes me 3 or 5 hours. And I've only done it in virtual.
I wouldn't give her.
Manjaro is a bit easier. But you know, I don't go in there that often. Every time I get, like, if I'm away 3 weeks, I got to do the updates, and I always got to fix it because something's broken on it for the updates. So I got to redo stuff, but I always get it working. But that does run really, really good, though. I got to be honest with you, really good. Mm-hmm. But it's not for a newbie, though.
No, that's why I kind of took it that way. So I'm kind of looking for this project. You know, I think it was I think it's going to be like just the right solution for this person. And you know what? And it's Linux. You know, any opportunity just to have the opportunity to take Linux, put it into somebody's hands, like for everyday use, and somebody that's not like a real, they're not techie. I mean, this is just an appliance in their life that they need, they rely on. And to, you know, to have that opportunity to, not that I'm trying to stick it to Windows or anything, but just say, hey, put Linux in there and find one more home for it. I think that I'm excited about it. I mean, but that's the way I am. I have a lot of passion in the things that I do. No, you know what? No. I mean, it's a constant conveyor belt of my printer doesn't work and my email is broken. You know what? This is something that I feel, it kind of got my creative juices running a little bit. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, you know, you brought up Linux and you guys, you know, everybody knows that if you've been listening for a while, I run Linux. It's, you know, that box behind me is Windows, but, it's a test machine. But I, you know, my main rig here is Linux. And, you know, just the other day we were sitting around and we were talking and I was listening to the Linux for the Rest of Us. And Dor mentioned that now on Linux for the Rest of Us, the Linux Academy is one of their sponsors. And so if you guys are ever interested in learning Linux or testing out Linux or playing with Linux, $1 gets you 14 days of a trial there. It's $19 if you, I guess if you pay for the full year, it's $19 a month for that. I don't want to sell it on the show, but definitely go listen to the last Linux for the Rest of Us. You get lab servers, you get practice exams, MP3s, new content weekly, and then after you do all this and you test out and you get all, you know, you feel like you want to go take your test, especially your Linux Plus test, you get a 20% off voucher. So, if you haven't heard about Linux Academy, eeny meeny miny mo, pick up a just Google and listen to go to elementop.com, another podcast, Linux for Linux, listen to Everyday Linux, and they talk about it. The last Linux for the Rest of Us, Dor and I talk about it. So definitely check out Linux Academy if you're very interested in learning about Linux.
Cool.
Should we go ahead and get on to our emails? We have emails and voicemails. You guys have completely inundated us, and I am so excited. We keep saying, hey, email us, and we received 6-7 emails this week.
Well, 4 of them were me complaining about how bad the show is.
Well, again,
you know what? Before you get off on the correspondence, let me just kind of update. Mitch and I were talking last week about.
Oh yeah, your phone.
Yeah, the phone. I'm not gonna spend a lot of time on it, but yeah, Mitch, I was so excited because you know this whole thing of Android and I listen to these guys forever, and my friends in the forums are talking about, you know, I got my phone and I rooted it and got all these different ROMs and this and that. And those guys running I started making up names, these crazy different names, these different ROMs, and they're probably, you know, crafted by some, you know, Spurglordian 13-year-old in his basement. And, so. But yeah, I really felt like I was missing out on that having this Droid Razor, there really weren't a lot of options out there, and it's not a device that lends itself well, to ROMing it, and all. I rooted it like the second day I had it, and so I really kind of felt like I was one of the guys, but I never installed I hated the stock ROM. I mean, to me, it's the difference between, you know, installing from the factory disks and just installing like clean Windows without all the awful, awful BS running. The difference is, though, at least you could uninstall it. I mean, this to me is like, it's basically pulled my hair out. I got all this stuff running, and you go in and the most you can do is uninstall updates. It's like, well, that doesn't sound even good, much less what I want to do. And as soon as you do, it just starts, you know, auto updating or harassing you to update the app. So, you know, Mitch is like the man. I mean, he found where, you know, they did have this CyanogenMod mod. They had the different builds for this phone. We had the same phone. And man, they had the whole process. I'll tell you what, it was so easy. That was the one thing that I will say, the way they laid it out, the things you had to do, it was absolutely so easy. It was something I really enjoyed myself.
Say strap mount. I mean, it's so cool. It's like you can dual boot. You can,
exactly.
We have the option of dual booting back into the, or booting back into the original stock.
Yeah. ROM.
I think you can do up to like 4 ROMs on it.
Yeah. It's, in addition to the stock ROM.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And exactly. I mean, it's just like what I've done on my laptop for years where I created all these different partitions. You know, dual booting. I was like quad booting, you know, all these different things at the same time. And so I'm like, oh, this is exactly what I want to do. And so, the one tricky thing was kind of figuring out how to get, the Google Apps, package installed, but I figured that out. And so I was like so happy. It booted up. It didn't have all the crap on it.
It was like, you know, your app drawer, it was like one page, maybe a page and a half or something. It was it.
Yeah,
it was crazy. Hardly anything.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So, yeah, I tell you what, I want to thank Mitch. I was just so happy.
Don't thank me. Thank Dor.
Well, every day I send emails to Dor, and actually his lawyers told me to stop doing it, so I'm not really allowed to even do that anymore. But you
elaborate, like, the Dor Razr, it wasn't one of the best phones to, and some of the older ones, I'm not sure they're going to work on this, but when I went on Cyanogen site, it said, it will work with any XT, what was it? XT912, yeah. Is that what we had? Whatever. Yeah. And I said, what do I have to lose? And it was a breeze. And I mean, I took my time and read everything. Right. I tell you, and I've had it a month now, and I just can't believe how good it's working, because it never worked that great from the get go. But when I had my Droid X, when I had that rooted and ROMed, it was working all right for a while, but then that started messing up. This one's not messed up. I'm not saying I haven't had some mild issues, but it's way, way, way better was with the stock ROM.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm so excited about this, because this has solved a problem that I've had, I felt like, from the get-go, where I didn't want the stuff on there. I couldn't do anything about it. It's been frustrating. And, I'm also excited because this thing was seriously due for a fresh install. And so, I had this, this got me into probably 4.2.2, it's KitKat. So, which I mean, with Verizon, I'm stuck at Jelly Bean. They'll never, ever release KitKat for this phone. I mean, this phone's on the way out, I'm sure. So, just to be able to be running the newest, the software available, I tell you what, it was ice cream sandwich. The phone came with ice cream sandwich on it. When I put off the Jelly Bean upgrade as long as I could, and I was so sorry when it did, because I felt like
same here.
There were features that went away that I really missed. I still miss, and some of them came back with where are we at now? KitKat.
Jelly Bean. I don't think it still hasn't got KitKat.
What's that?
I said Jelly Bean. I don't think the Razr has got KitKat.
Well, no, yet. that's what the CyanogenMod mod is.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about.
And that's what I'm so excited about, is that I'm actually running the KitKat. Some of the features that I missed came back. Have you noticed how much better the pictures are now? The photos it takes? Because the photos that camera took were awful. And I feel like, and maybe it's my imagination, I really feel like it's taking better pictures. But anyway, I was just talking to Mitch before the show. I've always liked the phone. I don't know that I love it. I truly hated it up until last week. And I got to say, I was giving it like three, four stars. And having just the combination of having the fresh install and KitKat, that, I'm up to 7.5 stars. I still have issues, but I really have to conclude that they're just, they're either hardware related or they're just, it's just the nature of the phone. So, I don't think that I'm going to keep it for another 3 years, because I just adore it. But I'm a much, much happier person right now. So, huge. Excellent. It's so exciting. So much fun.
It is.
That's really cool. I, rooted my Galaxy S4, and there it sits. Now it needs an update, and it won't update. So. Oh, well.
Write a letter to Dor.
I've already been talking to Dor. And actually, it's funny because OLF's coming up, and that's when I got my phone just before that. So I've almost had my phone a year.
Gosh. But you probably have a ton. That's probably one of the most popular phones, too, ROM, I would imagine.
Yeah, I just have to un-ROM it. And to un-ROM it, you have to wipe it, put it back to factory default.
You mean unroot it, yeah.
Yeah, and then, unroot it, sorry. And then I've got to wipe it, and it's just a big pain, so I haven't done it yet.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just real quickly, the Razr, when I said it doesn't lend itself well to this, I believe that I read this once, and so I'm not hardcore at all this, and I kind of remember it. But basically, it kind of said that, like, with the Samsung phones, and this was like from a year or two ago, but it's just the Samsung phones, the way that it's the bootloader or what it is. There's just something about the way it's structured that it lends itself better to, doing this sort of thing, whereas the Razr doesn't. Or Motorola it doesn't have that so much. And I think the other point they made was that it doesn't have, a user replaceable battery. So it's not like you just pop the back off, pull the battery, if you run into issues. So, I think that was always kind of a sticking point. And that's why I was amazed that when you presented this, I'm like, well, that looks too easy. And then I did it and I'm like, well, that was too easy and it works perfectly. And, at any point I can reboot. I can just choose the stock ROM and boot it right back up to where it was before I even did anything. That to me is fantastic.
I haven't been back into the old one since.
I had to do it once because there was I had some contacts or something that didn't back up, and so I had to export something. Oh, it was like a little thing like that, but it's great. I love it. So I thank you. Thank you, Dor. Appreciate it. Awesome.
That's really cool. I have one more thing before we get in here. Earlier today, Liam was trying to find some information regarding a computer he had, and he was looking for, they had the CD, they just didn't have the key, or they had the something. He was trying to find a Office 2013 key, and, you know, Magic Jelly Bean and all those other applications wouldn't work. Came across one called Sterjo Key Finder, Sterjo Key Finder, and apparently this works for Windows 8 and Office 2013, and he did say it worked just fine. So that'll be in the show notes as well.
Oh, that's good. But I want to throw that out there.
But it looks like if you go to their website, it looks like not only finds, you know, new Windows 8 stuff, but all Windows versions, SQL. Like it took a while to scroll down to find more information about it because it was just listing all of the products and keys that it could find. So, and it looks like it's free. They have a portable app. That's in the show notes. So if you're looking for a key finder, there you go.
It's a great tip. Right. Thank you.
Yeah. So Mitch, do we have an email from our voicemail from Jeff Owens?
Yes, Jeff, we do. Is everybody ready? Here we go.
Hold on tight.
Hi, this is for the Geeksters. This is Jeff Owens, Black Hammer. I've been listening to you guys talk quite a bit about Windows XP, and I wanted to point something out. Where I work in a corporate environment licenses, but we have the enterprise versions of Windows 8 Vista. So when I was going to upgrade my Windows XP machines to Windows All Vista Service Pack 2, then you upgrade to Windows 7. It's a clean upgrade path, RAM, or even 2 GB for some systems. I did that, and that maintained hardware for a little longer. And actually, I have some XP systems where I work now that I'm just going to throw this. 99% of the ones that everybody uses are already to Windows 7, but those ones that are text and shared ones in the plant running one application only, Vista is the choice. RAM said only run on 16-bit code. So XP mode, there's virtual PC XP mode inside of Windows 7 Ultimate and the Professional. And so we just installed the XP mode inside. Then you install the software you want, puts a desktop shortcut on the Windows 7 desktop. People double click it, takes a few minutes, says opening virtual XP. Boom, done. They're running the old programs inside XP inside Windows 7. Perfectly safe. They don't use it to surf the internet or anything, and it can see the drives and everything passes through the Windows 7 machine. So that's a couple options I wanted to throw out to you guys and thought I'd share with you. And happy birthday, Tater. A little late. Bye.
Well, that's a great idea. Is that if you have, you know, you're holding back from upgrading Windows XP because there's a certain 16-bit application or whatever 8-bit application that you need to run in Windows XP. Upgrade, still do your upgrade so your system is safe, but then, you know, maybe do a VM or a XP mode inside of that. So that's a great tip, Jeff. And it sounds like did that come out in Vista? That XP mode?
I thought it was in Windows 7.
I know it's in 7, but was that available in Vista?
I don't think it was in Vista. I'm not sure.
Oh, man,
but I remember it, though. But
I don't.
You would get it free from Microsoft,
I don't
right?
think.
Yeah.
I think you had to have, like, Professional or.
I don't think it was Vista. I'm pretty sure that it was.
7.
It was Windows 7. I'm pretty sure it was Windows 7 because I think that. Actually, yeah, because Windows 7 had the awesome beta program, and I remember it. It was. I'm pretty sure it was part of that the beta download that you could try that XP mode, and I was like, and then I remember when it came out, I'm like, oh, well, this isn't exactly part of Windows 7, is it? Because it's only in the Professional and the Enterprise, which all of a sudden that's an entirely different piece of software. I mean, you're not going to install that for your residential customers.
Right, yeah, you're not going to find that that app on like Windows 7 Home Premium or something like that.
But I do want to say it was Windows 7, and it's actually very, very good.
Yeah, it is. I agree.
The one thing that Windows got right was Windows that they'd already made.
Hey, if you keep reinventing the same wheel, you'll never go wrong.
Well, yeah. It's round. How can we make it better?
More roundy.
More roundy.
That's
a technical thing, by the way. I know, a wheel inside a wheel. Both round? Yes. Ooh. Make them both round.
Double round. Round square.
That's right. That's like it's a virtual wheel inside a wheel.
I'm pretty round, that's for sure. I'm not going to stand up to prove it either.
Oh, come on. Chicken. All right. So our first email comes from Maria, and she says, "Hey, guys, I love the show and listen to it while I work. Keep up the good work." It just made me, and now all of a sudden I have the Snow White Whistle Away work in my head. Anyways, keep up the good work. I've been working as an IT specialist for about 2 years now and freelance work for about 3 years. And before, 3 years before, but I have been kept, but, oh, sorry, but have kept putting off the A+ exam. I'm finally taking part one in July. Do you have any advice? What were some of your experiences with it? I've worked on everything from server management and network configuration to basic user and errors. Will the experience I have be enough, or should I brush up on my knowledge? Warm regards, Maria Ramirez. And then she says, AKA the IT guy in a dress.
I replied back to her.
Did you?
Yes.
Thanks for CCing us.
It's a good question.
Did I?
It's okay. Move on.
I thought you would automatically get. You don't automatically get that. I just told her what I did. You know, because when I took my A+ back in 2001, I took a lot of practice tests. There were. You could find them all over the place.
Right.
I mean, a whole lot. And when I actually took the test, it was like in two parts. You could in hardware and software. You couldn't take them at the same time. But it was adaptive, meaning the more you got wrong, I think the more questions they would give you.
Yeah,
and I'm telling you, I got done like 5 minutes in both of them. Seems like, and I don't know. Why.
That's kind of like a police interrogation, where the more questions you get wrong, the more they ask you.
But I guess I didn't do too bad.
No,
but I tell you what. Now with A+, it's not too much network stuff on there because it's a separate course right there. I had some things, but I practiced a lot, and so even probably stuff I didn't need to practice.
No, you're right. But she said she's working this for 2 years in her job, freelance. She's done a lot of networking stuff. She's done a lot of server management. That stuff's not going to come into play for your A+. When I was studying for my A+ back in late 90s, it was things like you had to manually set IRQ codes. You had to do all that. And you just don't have to do any of that anymore. But go to ProfessorMesser.com.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that.
And he has practice exams. He's got a whole bunch of stuff. He's got study guides and all of that kind of stuff. If you follow him on Google+, he's got A+ questions, and he'll throw those out there every day. So ProfessorMesser.com. Check that out.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy. I know him. He used to come in the chat room all the time.
Yeah, he was in the hangout the other night. Check that out. I have a feeling, Maria, that you are, and unfortunately, if you're trying to get your A+ so you can have some baseline, you've been working, you can't see me, but you've been working way above the A+ stuff right now. So as soon as you get your A+, then definitely move on to your Net+, your Network+. If you're going to stay with, the CompTIA, path, I think you're going to do really well. Take some practice exams, try it out, see where you're at with it, brush up on what you need for it. I really don't think now being, so many years later that my A+ or even Mitch's A+ experience, what we've gone through, other than the fact of the adaptive test, I don't know. Tim, what are your thoughts on it? Do you have your A+?
I do not.
I'm just kidding.
And actually, that was a long way of saying no. I was trying to stretch it out because I don't have much. I really don't have much input. I can only like kind of repeat what I've heard and my take on it. I get the impression that, these certifications, they're kind of like getting a driver's license when you're 18, although you grew up on a farm and you've been driving like heavy machinery for 8 years. It's kind of like you're going to need it in certain situations. However, it doesn't necessarily prove everything. It just kind of says, right. Look, this person has established that, you know, they've met minimum criteria, which you need that in life. You know, you need that because you can't just go off what somebody tells you. I mean, there has to be some standard by which is the minimum standard. And the thing is that, you know, you do need those certifications to get certain jobs. However, it's, you know, your experience, your abilities, your talent, your skill set. Those are the things that actually make you good at the job you're getting, actually make you enjoy it, and the people that you work with enjoy you. You know, it's a minimum standard. I think that they're very, very good to have if somebody needs you to have them.
I mean, I was working as a network administrator and a systems administrator, and I had been doing it for quite a while, and my boss wanted me to go get my Network Plus. It's stuff that I already knew how to do, had been doing for many years, but he just, you know, and part of it was that I was able to get a little bit of a pay raise out of it. So, you know, I now have my Network Plus.
Hey, really, if anybody wants to get into this field, I mean, the IT, I mean, A Plus is just the bottom one. Really, you need to go further, because networking is the big deal. You can ask my son in there. I mean, that's... The more you can, you know, network, and you can further along your career, and I learned Cisco and all that other stuff, and that's where the really big bucks are. But you'll be working a lot, a lot of hours.
Linux Academy.
There you go.
This Professor Messer. I mean, this is. I definitely have to check this out. I mean, at the very top of the page, I'm seeing my live A+ study group of Saturday. Click here to register. I mean, at the bottom, I'm seeing, you know, almost 1,000 students online, and there's just scores of them in the different chats, general certification chat, Linux chat. So I think I've been here before. I've never actually spent time here, taking anything from it. So it looks awesome.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think all the videos are free. I could be wrong, but you can just go and click on the videos, and you can just watch them. And he walks through them. So very good site, ProfessorMesser.com. It looks like we have another email. Hi, Martin. I'm one of those geeksters I'm one geeksters behind, so if you talked about this on your last show, sorry. I had a couple of questions surrounding GFI Max and Skydog. First, Skydog, have you considered using them for small customers? This sounds like just the solution. I was asking about, and you were sort of looking at it for web filtering for small clients. Okay. I think I am going to give them a try for my customer if my customer is willing to pay for the router upgrade. I'm just wondering, do you have any thoughts on this, and if I have tried it? Regarding GFI Max, I'm really liking what I hear and see about them, so I'm going to set up a trial account. The reason I'm telling you is that on the trial request, there's a checkbox for a referrer code, and if you have some perk for referring someone, I'll be happy to enter your code there and hopefully giving something back to you. Thanks again to you and Tim and Mitch for putting together a great show, and Door 2 for the rest of the Podnuts community that he's building. I've been a fan of Podnuts since Steve's early days, and I'm glad you guys are part of that.
Rock and roll.
Regards, George. Very good. I'm sorry. I have not put Skydog out to any of my clients right now. I think right now Skydog is going to be really good as for home use. Clients, I think it's still a little...
It's not considered an enterprise deal there.
Yeah, I think it's still a little young for enterprise stuff. OpenDNS definitely has gotten some... If you're looking for filtering, OpenDNS has some great content filtering for enterprise solutions that even integrates into things like Active Directory and stuff like that. But really, Skydog for clients in an enterprise... if you're looking for mom and pop, place, one or two, three people, now you got to look at, okay, now OpenDNS could be a little bit cheaper. Skydog's a little more expensive. I think Skydog is built for, because of the way they do content management and the way that you can turn on and off devices and assign users to devices, it really seems like it's really, and now with what we talked about earlier, this, the Web Rover, it's really geared more towards home use than it is for business use. If you're interested, I will send you my GFI stuff. I'm going to be pushing out GFI. I have a client today who wants to go with that, and so tonight I'll be pushing GFI to that as well.
So you are using that GFI.
I am using GFI.
Okay. Yeah. Fred was real big on that.
Yeah. And I haven't, like I said, this will be my first client, or I had a client and then they left, and so this will be my first client that will be big on it, and I'll be using it quite a bit, and then I'll have to do a big report on it. This is from Joe Mesman, and I actually just, before the show, where we're running a little late, and we had to push it back a little bit, is that I was doing a Comcast install with Joe Mesman in downtown Portland. So he says, good, just heard Geeksters this morning. Good show. And here's the fix. I did both and see how it works over a month. And so it must have worked. Okay. This is the reverse. Sorry. It says, then the reverse. Wait, this is, oh. Then reverse the IE fix and see what happens, and maybe a combination. But so far, it's good. It's been a week now. Found these fixes on some forum with the same issue. This is the issue that Joe talked to us a while ago, where Outlook would send half an email. It would remember that it would send an email, but it was almost like it was sending the saved draft email, but it wasn't actually sending the full email.
Right.
I don't know if you remember that. So he says, solution one. I have removed the IE11 update on 6 machines and have received no more complaints regarding the email cutoff from the end users. This is a 10-minute procedure. And then he goes through that and talks about that, and it'll be in our show notes about how to remove IE11. Solution 2. I fixed the issue on my two Windows 7 64-bit machines with Outlook 2003. Turn off the autosave unsent, which defaults to save every 3 minutes. Tools options, emails, and go through that. It's been 3 days with no more cutoff length of emails. It appears that when you click send, that Outlook was sending a recently saved version, not the actual final version that you were working on before he clicked send. So it looks like a couple issues. He removed IE11, dropped it back down to IE9. I'm not so sure about that. And the reason is because I have a client today that I was talking to that another tech had gone in and did the same thing. If you're using Internet, if you're using Internet Explorer as your primary browser, really, you know, I would say my
prayers.
I would say stay current.
Huh? Prayers. I would say my prayers.
Prayers. Prayers. But, you know, stay current.
Absolutely.
You know? Absolutely. Stay current with it. Maybe you need to switch it back to compatibility mode. Maybe you need to do something like that. But really, I think if you're using Internet Explorer as your primary browser, stay current with the latest one, because that's going to keep all the security features that Microsoft doesn't patch correctly patched, at least. That's my thought. Let me know what you guys think about that.
Yeah, and just what you're saying, it always made me nervous where I would have to, you know, roll something back and check the box for never offer me this update again. I don't think I ever actually could bring myself to do it, although it would have saved me a lot of time and hassle on a number of occasions if I had just swept it under the rug. I mean, because is it a workaround, or am I opening up a major security flaw that's going to come back and bite me later? And I could just never could like bring myself to do it. And so, I at home, yeah, well, it's different at home, but I mean, for a business, man, it's just, I don't know. If I'm dealing with some third party software that they're using and that's what they require and this has to happen. Well, okay. I mean, that's a different thing, but I could never just go on my own and just, hey, never show me that update again. Even though right. It would have been a very, very easy thing to do. Cause I got to sleep at night, man.
Right. It did sound like that he did both of them and is going to roll back IE back to IE 11. And make sure that it's an Outlook. I really honestly think that this was an Outlook issue. This had really nothing to do with IE. I'm hoping that worked. And then and it sounds like he did the same thing that we had talked about, is that he just turned off the save unsent, which then again, I mean, if you're writing a long draft, in this instance, I would probably tell the customer, if you're writing a long email and you know that it's going to be a very long email, maybe write it out in Notepad or WordPad or something like that ahead of time. That way you don't write this huge lengthy email and it never saves a draft.
I always do that. I always do that.
Write an email in a Word document and then post paste it in there.
Yeah, you only have to lose one once, and you're like, okay, well, I'm not doing that again. The power goes out.
So I'm just thinking,
shuts down, maybe, it's gone. So that's
And I was just with him at this client, so and I didn't read these ahead of time long enough to realize that. So, but
good tip.
You know, hopefully, I think Joe is going to listen to this. Okay,
there's always weird issues with Office sometimes, like when I got to create this Excel report. It's made with actually Access, and it emails me to myself an Excel report, and I'll just view it. I'll open it. I'll view it from my email, but I don't save it or anything. But when you do that, after you get to 100 of them, it doesn't work. You have to clear this thing out in the hidden folder,
Yeah.
Oh, so that's kind of crazy. Yeah.
Yep. I completely remember doing that at my last job. Yeah. Real quick before we jump into the next one, Adam Hammett in the forum mentions that the videos on Professor Messer are free to watch online. If you want to buy them, you can buy like a DVD and then watch it at home. But he provides all those videos free for you online.
Awesome.
So this is from Aaron Turnbull, who we talked about earlier about the Sky Dog, and he's actually from Oregon, and he says it. Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm from Oregon. He's actually about 2 hours south of me. I was just listening to Geeksters episode 108 and heard Tim ask about the Lego Robotics first kit. I have a friend at work that is a huge participator in the leagues. He helps out by being a coach and a referee for the FTC, First Tech Challenge, and also the FRC, First Robotics Competition. They're both Lego robotics for kids. Here are some links for the different Lego leagues, depending on how old your child is. And he has a couple links in there that we'll put in the show notes. The second league is an Oregon link. So, Tim, that doesn't count for you. It gives you an idea of the amazing things they can do in the leagues, and they're really cool. I also heard you guys talk about 3D printers and hoping they go down in price. Well, they have. And you can't even get them on the cheaper if you build your own. I found this website a while ago and have been gathering parts to build my own. This website gives you different options depending on what kind of printer you want and if you want to build it yourself or just buy it complete. The site has step-by-step full diagrams and specs of everything. It even has YouTube videos. You'll spend hours on the site just deciding if you want to build your own printer. You can also print your own parts for a friend to build his own printer without having to spend the extra money. And there's going to be a link in that in the show as well. Love the show and the customer stories. One of the best shows on the Podnuts Network. Keep up the great work, Aaron Turnbull.
Well, I thank you. Oh, I mean, I had a couple awesome questions through him out there. I really appreciate that. Thanks. I don't know if we're one, but they're all great. I feel very fortunate to be a part of it. But thanks a lot for the help with that. That's appreciate that.
Yeah, I didn't even think about getting your own printer to build, then charging your friend to use your printer to build his printer.
But we need more people like that.
Awesome. That's capitalism.
Well, that's it. I'm just an ideas man.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So thanks, Aaron and George and Joe and Maria and Jeff. Man, good
stuff tonight. You don't print the steak, you print the sizzle.
Ooh. Print the sizzle. I'm not even sure what that. I don't even know what that.
Well, that's right, because we don't get. We need the money man that knows how to print the sizzle, and then the
that's right.
Buddy. All right.
Hey, so next week I'm going to be in Disneyland, happiest place on earth. Tuesday I will not be in Disneyland. I'll be in LA, but I'll be getting ready to go to Disneyland the next couple of days. So we decided that there may or may not be a Podnuts or a Geekster show. Stay tuned if you're listening to the show. It may or may not be published by then. Keep watch us on social media, and we'll let you know and where it's going to be held. But there will be maybe a show.
Yeah. Well, Martin's definitely going to be away, and it's going to be a really short week. You know, if we do it, and so I don't know if we're kind of leaving it up in the air. I mean, as much as we enjoy doing the show, we don't want to mention we don't. We don't need to record audio if we're just going to sit here and stare at each other. So, I don't know. Maybe Mitch and I will come back and we'll fight. We'll have a fight.
Oh, I don't want to miss that one.
Well, you can download
I'll
it later.
I'll sit on you.
Oh, okay, cool. I'll listen to it on my way.
Absolutely.
Home. The Geeksters.
I think we did do one show without.
Yeah, we did, but we were like.
We did it.
And it was like Tom and Jerry when they were friends. I mean, this will be like when they were fighting.
I listened to it. I remember I listened to it when I was driving, and it was great. And I thought, why in the world am I coming back to this? Right. I should just let you guys do it every week. And it was.
Yeah, but it's been done. So I'm not doing it. Do it again.
It's been done. And Tim does a mic drop.
Yeah, that's mic drop. Out of here.
Maybe we could get somebody to fill
Ooh.
In.
Ooh,
we could get a mystery guest host. Maybe
that's actually a very good idea. Hmm. You know what? Let's
don't spoil it.
I think the guest host should be whoever wants to win like our latest thing.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
So they just qualify themselves like somebody else I know.
Martin, aren't we supposed to be giving something away? I forgot all.
Yeah,
that.
There is a it's a 12-month subscription to the LastPass Premium. So it's the paid version of LastPass.
It's great. The winner gets to guest host and disqualify themselves from what they
What do you have to do to get this?
I don't know. We never decided.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's the we haven't come up with that part yet.
I got you.
We know what you're going to give you. We just don't know how we're going to give it to you or what you're going to do to have to
get
it.
Which is like the structural component of a contest.
Exactly, exactly. We have the prizes, but we don't know how we're going to give them away yet.
I mean, what you could do, I mean, real quick, I mean, you could just maybe ask some questions. I mean, I guess it's good. Are you going to leave it to people in the that's watching us live?
We haven't decided.
I got you. Okay. All right. I'm just trying to throw it up because what did we do before? What did we do when Martin gave away the Raspberry Pi?
I didn't give it
away. Eric, the Raspberry Pi.
It's what would I forgot you have? It's like your coolest ways or what would you do with it?
Oh, I think he drew some names out of a hat.
No, everybody voted on it.
No, don't you remember who won it?
That's right.
Yeah, you're right. That was awesome.
That's right.
That was a year ago. I remember it was in March. So I have guys for a year now.
Yeah, we had a fantastic young man who.
Yeah, I just hope you don't get into politics so we don't lose
who?
Me.
Okay. Martin. Well, like what happened to Eric?
He's been everything once. I don't mean that like in a bad way. I mean, he's awesome. I mean, that guy, he could do anything. He really can. He's great.
I mean, now he's a star on Android App Addicts.
Yeah. Oh, they call him, the mayor? Or they call him what's his nickname?
He's
good clerk. No, his nickname.
I don't know what the nickname was.
They call him the mayor. They call him the manager. The manager. But you know what?
That was from, right. OLF.
I think that he's like way beyond manager to me. I mean, he's like, I mean, I guess he is.
Vice president.
I'm thinking like, he's like the chief something. He's a chief something officer. Ministry of fun or something. I mean, the guy is like, I think manager is better than that. But yeah. We miss him, man. I love that guy.
Yeah. We should have him come on. Maybe he can win a LastPass premium. Oh, well, then he can disqualify himself.
When Unbootables, he was, he had some good times on Unbootables. You were there too,
Tim. I remember some of Unbootables.
All right. Tim, if people can get a hold of you, what's the best way?
Preferably by the hand, but you know, anything will work. If you'd like to contact me, it's, tim@realpcrepair.com. I am Tim Bauermeister from the G+. I am in the Podnuts forums.
Nice. Sorry, look down. Mitch, if people want to send us a voicemail or email like that all these other great people have.
Okay, send your voicemails. Call in at 7076-PODNUT. And you can email me at geektalkwithmitch@gmail.com. Probably won't answer it. Or get a hold of me at geeksters@podnuts.com.
Did you just have to move away from the mic so you could see what was on the screen?
Exactly. I'm looking at it.
If you email Mitch, make sure it's really large print. Because he's old.
Actually, I'm struggling to see it right now as it is. That's why I'm going to get to that meetup, but I'm going to leave while it's still on. Come back in. I don't like driving at night.
Well, you got to get there in time to eat dinner at 3.
it's 11 to 5.
It's gracious.
Oh my goodness. All right. If you want to get a hold of me. Oh,
no, I was going to say, I mean, you know, Mitch doesn't even eat the early bird dinner. I mean, it's like a hatchling.
the hatchling.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's 11:30. It's time for dinner.
Right. Eating breakfast the night before.
But he's never late for anything.
No, he's not.
All right. If people want to get a hold of me, they can get me at martin@obandocomputing.com. Thank you, everybody, for your voicemails and your emails. They will see you possibly next week. I will see you in 2 weeks. It'll be the eve of Northeast Linux Fest. There it is. That was completely gone. Eve of Northeast Linux Fest. I'll be getting back, and then Cody Cooper and I will be flying out Tuesday night. Thursday night. So we'll do a show on Tuesday, and then Cody and I fly to Boston Thursday. So thank you, everybody, for coming out again. Have a great fiscal couple weeks if I don't hear from you first. Bye, guys.